Okay. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Today's obviously Sabbath, and it's November 29th. And what we'll be speaking on, the Parashat Tidbit today's refers to Genesis 28:10 to Genesis 32:3. And it's called Vayetze. And this word Vayetze is from the word Yetzah or Yatzah, which means to go or come out, went forth, burst forth. And therefore, this parasha should be called, and he went out, or he went forth. Verse 10 in Hebrew reads, Vayetze, and went forth, Yaakov, Miber Sheva, from Beersheva, Vayalek, and went Harana to Haran. As you can see, Genesis 28:10 mentions that Yaakov went out from Beersheva. The sages say that the departure of a righteous man from the place diminishes the place's importance, and that is that his departure will be keenly felt by its inhabitants. If that is indeed true, then it means that the presence of a righteous man will also be keenly felt wherever the righteous man goes, for the righteousness of Elohim is within him.
Just move your mouse like that, and that will just
if that your is true, then we should know what the definition of righteousness is according to Scripture. In Deuteronomy 6:24-25, it says, "And Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Yahweh Elohim," and of course the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, "and for our good always, and that he might, so that he might preserve us alive as it is this day." And it continues on and says, "And it shall be our righteousness if we obey and observe to do all these commandments before Yahweh Elohim as he has commanded us." In verse 11, we are told that Yaakov tarried all night because the sun was set. Could it be that it was a Shabbat and that Yaakov was obedient to keep the Shabbat as the Torah of Yahweh commands us to do? In verse 12, we are told that Yaakov had a dream where he saw a ladder set on the earth and that it reached to heaven. It also says that the messengers were ascending and descending on this ladder. Notice that it says ascending first.
Well, they were coming from heaven.
No, ascending means going up, Gail.
Oh, right.
For them to ascend first means that the messengers of Elohim had to be here on earth already.
Yeah.
I believe that the messengers of Elohim surrounded the Yaakov the same way that they will surround all righteous people that have made the conscious decision to lovingly surrender their hearts, minds, souls, and strength to our Heavenly Father, and then willingly choose to commit to believe, follow, and obey all the words of His inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, the words of His Torah of life. I hope that you can see for yourself that this actually has very huge implications. You might ask, what do you mean, Mark? Well, we live in a fallen world, which not only has evil people in it, but there is a spirit of evil that permeates our societies. Whether we call it the spirit of Satan, the spirit of Jezebel, or the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar, or simply an evil spirit. And it somehow influences and or deceives many people who do not have a surrendered, contrite, obedient heart that is willing to believe, follow, and obey the ways and the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life. Now, whether they know it or not, when their hearts reject the Torah, it means that they are determined to do evil to the point that they are even willing and ready to counsel other people to do evil. Now, you might ask me, how can you say that these people are doing what these people are doing or they are being evil? Would you agree that sin is evil? Well, if you answered yes to that question, then let me read you what it says in 1 John 3:4. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the Torah, for sin is the transgression of the Torah. Therefore, based on your answer that sin is indeed evil, and since sin is defined in Scripture as the transgression of the words of the Torah of our Heavenly Father that Yahweh gave to Moshe at Mount Sinai, then that means that everybody who willingly rejects, discards, and or refuses to obey the words of the Father's Torah of life is doing evil. Let that sink in. Everybody that rejects the Torah is doing evil. Please remember that the scripture makes it very clear that Elohim has promised every loving, surrendered, contrite, obedient heart that willingly choose to obey the words of the Torah that his blessings, which are substantial, will hunt them down and overtake all of them that have chosen to believe and follow his words, his words of life.
Does that mean everybody that isn't observing the Sabbath is doing this?
They will not get the blessings that you get for keeping Sabbath. Yes, that's what it means.
Wow,
furthermore,
that's,
he said,
enormous.
Yes, it is. Furthermore, he said that a righteous man will be guarded by Yahweh's messengers to the point that the messengers won't even let the righteous person stub their toe against the rock. Furthermore, Yahweh has promised the obedient, surrendered believer and follower of the words of the Father's inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, the words of his Torah of life, in Deuteronomy 7, 12 to 15. And this is what it says. Therefore, it shall come to pass, if you hearken, if you shema, if you hear, listen, pay very close attention to, understand, believe, follow, and obey these judgments, the words of the Father's Torah of life, and keep and do them, that Yahweh your Elohim shall keep unto you the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he will love you, bless you, multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb. He will bless the fruit of your land, bless your grain, bless your wine, bless your oil, bless the increase of your kind, bless the flocks of your sheep in the land which he swore unto your fathers to give to you. Let all these things sink in. He goes on to say, you shall be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you, or among your cattle, and Yahweh will take away from you all sickness, not just some, but all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases, the plagues of Egypt, which you know, upon you, the righteous Torah obedient person, but will lay them upon them that actually hate you. This is not even close to all that Yahweh has promised his obedient children, for Yahweh promised so much more. And these verses here in Yaakov's dream, which make up part of Yahweh's Torah of life, are written here in the Torah to comfort the people who...
Where
yeah.
Are you?
Huh?
Where are you?
Right there, enlarged, to comfort the people. You can't read it?
No.
Right there, where it's enlarged, where it says to comfort the people. Okay?
Yes.
To comfort the people who willingly and lovingly choose to believe, follow, and obey, to believe him, and to let all of us know that he has placed his messenger here on earth to protect and prosper those who willingly and lovingly choose to allow the Holy Spirit of Yahweh to cause them to believe, follow, and obey, and do the Father's commandments. Obey the words of his inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, the words of his Torah of life. Therefore, these messengers have the very same testimony that Yeshua the Messiah has. And that testimony is the love, that love and obedience to our Heavenly Father and his words of life, his Torah, will eventually heal all things. In verse 13, it says that Yahweh stood above the ladder. To me, that is like a general standing above his troops and directing them, directing his messengers as to how he wants his beloved saints to be protected. Not only does he instruct his messengers, his angels, on what to do, but he also speaks to Yaakov and makes him the same promise that he made to Abraham and Yitzchak. To me, that represents both the Hebraic scriptures that the Christians call the Old Testament, or the Old Covenant, and the Apostolic scriptures, Renewed Covenant. The words of the Torah that promises contained therein are identical in both the Hebraic scriptures, the so-called Old Covenant by many, and the Apostolic scriptures, the Renewed Covenant. The same way that the promises made to Yaakov are the very same identical promises that Yahweh made to Abraham and to Yitzchak. And Yahweh simply renewed his commitment to Yaakov to give him comfort and to help build up his belief, his faith, so that both we and Yaakov would know and believe that Yahweh is our Elohim and that he does not change. Yahweh has made it perfectly clear throughout Scripture that he does not change. He is forever the same. Therefore, the promises that he made to our fathers, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, are the same identical promises that he makes to us. Yahweh has said, I have sworn by my holy name, and I will make it come to pass. This is the kind of Elohim we serve. Therefore, we have to understand that the promises that he made to our forefathers have not changed one iota, and they will remain constant forever, because he is Yahweh who does not change. Matthew 5:18, for verily I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass, not even one, listen to this, not even one jot or tittle shall in any way pass from the Torah till all is fulfilled. In other words, the Torah is eternal and everlasting. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Yahweh, your word, your Torah, is established in heaven. In verse 14, we are told, in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. The word translated as blessed is the Hebrew word nivrechu, which does mean blessed, and it is a sister word to the word rekev, and one of its meanings is a branch for grafting, or to be grafted in. These words are spoken to all the people who willingly surrender their hearts to Yahweh in loving surrender obedience to his authority, and then willingly choose to believe, follow, and obey all the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life. They are the ones that are grafted into the family of Elohim. And that family, my friends, is Yisrael. Verse 15 goes on to say, should give all believers the goosebumps. The creator of the universe has promised us, creatures made of dust, that he is with us. And not only is he with us, but he also says, I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, the promised land. When you see the words, the heritage of Yaakov in Scripture, this is part of what it means to be heirs of the heritage of Yaakov. Verse 15, for I, Yahweh, will not leave you until I, the Aleph Tav, have done that which I have spoken to you of. And part of Yahweh's essence is he does not change. He is constant and just and judges all people by the very same standard that he judged Adam at the very beginning of time. Therefore, what he spoke through the words of the Father's Torah of life made flesh to Adam, to Abraham, to Yitzchak, and Yaakov is still very true today and totally relevant for each and every one of us today. In verse 20, we see that Yaakov made a vow. In essence, he answers Elohim and says, if you will do what you have just promised me, and I do indeed return in peace to the house of my father, then you shall be my Elohim. Now, it is very important that we understand that saying Yahweh is going to be our Elohim is not just an intellectual acceptance of what and who he is. It is much, much more than that. When we confess that Yahweh is our Elohim, it means that we have willingly and lovingly chosen to fully surrender our hearts, minds, souls, and strength to him, to the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life made flesh, our Messiah, and that we will allow his Holy Spirit to cause us to believe, follow, and obey all the words of his Torah of life. Then, and only then, can we expect him to fulfill his word in our lives. We absolutely must put action to our beliefs and thoughts, or else our belief or faith is dead. And that's worth an amen. There's one standalone Aleph Tav in this section, and it's in Genesis 28, verse 15, where it says, for I, Yahweh, will not leave you until I, Yahweh, the Aleph Tav, have done that which I, Yahweh, have spoken of you, or spoken to you of. There are also another two Aleph Tavs that are attached to words with a Mekef, and there are seven words that contain both the Aleph Tav letters within them. The number two in Scripture speaks of witness and unity. The number seven speaks of completeness, Yahweh's complete plan of redemption unto salvation. Therefore, I believe that Yahweh is witnessing to all of us through the story of Yaakov that his plan of redemption unto salvation is offered to all people who have or will willingly and lovingly choose to surrender their hearts, minds, souls, and strength to him and make a commitment to believe, follow, and obey all the words of our Heavenly Father's inerrant and everlasting teachings and instructions, the words of the Father's Torah of life, as he has commanded us to do, and as Messiah showed us by his exemplary Torah obedient life. That again is worth an amen. The Aleph Tavs that are attached to words with a Mekef are attached to the words Eben, Et Ha'eben, and the word Eben is a composite word made up of the word Av, which means father, and the word Ben, which means son. Therefore, I believe that Yahweh is telling us that our Heavenly Father and His Son, our Messiah, the words of the living Torah of our Heavenly Father made flesh, are one. The second Aleph Tav is attached to the word Shem Hamakov, which is from the phrase Vayikra et Shem Hamakom Hahu Beit El, which means he called Aleph Tav the name of the place Beit El or Beth El. The seven words that contain both the Aleph and Tav letters within them hold a message for us also, and that message is Mera Ashoftav, pillows, which means a place at the head or headrest, and it contains the word Rosh, which means head. The word Atah means you, and in this case it means Yaakov, Yisrael. The word Atnena, which means I give it, this tells us that Yahweh gives it to Yaakov and to his seed. The word Hazot is from the word Zot, which is a pronoun that means this, but I believe it has a much more profound meaning. It is from the word Zeh, which does mean this, which, or who, but this word Zot is spelled with the letter Zion, which has the pictographic meaning of a weapon. And since the other two letters are the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet, the Aleph and the Tav, and since those letters represent Messiah, it hints at the fact that there is something very important that is happening here, something that is just as important as when the world, together with the religious leaders of the day, crucified Messiah or put him to the weapon, which is what the letter Zion represents. And therefore, I believe that every time you see the word Zot spelled with these three letters in Scripture, that you should be aware that Yahweh is warning us to pay very close attention to what is happening here in the verse that we are reading, because something very important is about to happen. And in this case, it means that this land, Yaakov's future inheritance, which of course is the land of Israel, not just the land called Israel today, but the land that Yahweh gave to Abraham, which is 10 to 20 times bigger. The word Mera Ashotav means pillows. The word Otah means it. And the word Hazot is repeated. And in this case, it is referring to the stone, the Eben, which is defined above. In this event, Yaakov chose to rest his head on a stone, pillows, in order to rest. The word stone is the Hebrew word, in Hebrew is the word Eben. And it is a composite word made up of the word Av, which means father, and the word Ben, which means son. Therefore, this indicates to us that Yaakov was placing his head, his intellect, his understanding, his everything, in the hands of our Heavenly Father and His Son, our Messiah, in order to find rest. What happened when Yaakov chose to do that? What happened when Yaakov chose to rely on and trust our Heavenly Father and His Son? Yahweh said to him, when he woke up, to you, Yaakov, Yisrael, I will give all this land, because you have trusted in and relied upon the stone, your Heavenly Father and His Son, your Messiah, the words of the living Torah made flesh. And it, the stone, this Eben, will be yours, and you will live in the land that I, Yahweh, have given you, and dwell in the house of Yahweh, Beit El, Bethel, forever.
Wow, this is all before Yeshua even came into being.
Before he was made flesh, yes.
Yeah, I know. How do they know all this?
Because it says it in the Scripture.
It was before the beginning.
You just have to read the Scripture to understand what it says.
Yeah.
Therefore, tonight, when you are getting ready to lay your head down on your merashotai, your pillow, make a conscious commitment to Yahweh that from this moment on, He will be the merashotav, the pillow that you rest your head upon, the pillow, the merashotav that you will rely on to give you rest, a rest from all of your trials and tribulations, a rest from all of your cares, because you have willingly and lovingly chosen to follow Messiah's Torah obedient example and His advice to place all of your cares in His hands. And that certainly is worth an amen. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 says something very similar. Come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke, the Father's Torah upon you, and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke, the Torah of my heavenly Father, is easy, and my burden, obeying the words of my Father's Torah, is light. And that again is worth an amen. In Philippians 4:6 it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto Elohim. And the peace, the shalom, the completeness of Elohim, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through your Messiah Yeshua, the words of Heavenly Father's Torah, living Torah made flesh. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16-22, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything, and I mean everything, give thanks. For this is the will of Yahweh, Elohim, in Yeshua Messiah, the words of the living Torah made flesh concerning you. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not despise prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good, tov. Abstain from all appearances of evil. The Hebrew word tov, which is translated as the word good in English, means to function in the manner that Yahweh created all of his children to function. And that is in total loving surrender, obedience to all the words of our Heavenly Father's Torah of life, even every jot and tittle. Now, knowing all of this, I hope that the next time that you lay your head down on your pillow, your Mera Ashotayv, knowing in your heart that you have made the commitment to believe, follow, and obey all the words of the Father's Torah of life, that you will actually turn all of your cares, your trials and tribulations over to Yahweh and experience the rest that he promises that you will have, because you have willingly and lovingly chosen to follow Messiah's Torah obedient example and his advice to place all of your cares in his hands. Amen.
Yeah, you have to, because you're out. You're unconscious. So somebody's got to.